Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A special episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can reach us on Twitter, which our page is at Championship Pod, and you can also follow me on my personal Twitter, which is at @_JamesVickers.
Hi, I'm Andy Buckley Taylor. You can find me on Twitter with my user handle at BuckTaylor64. I do a blog all about Derby County. It's in the Derbyshire Times and the other various Derbyshire websites covering their local papers.
Hi, I'm Russ Golden, host of Cottage Talk, a podcast about Fulham Football Club. You can follow me on Twitter, Russ_Goldman, and also at the show Twitter page, which is simply Cottage Talk.
Yeah, thank you for joining me today, guys. Obviously, we're here to preview the sort of playoff first and second leg as a whole, really, I guess. Obviously, Derby County versus Fulham. Fulham desperately unlucky on the last day. You know, that big win streak coming to an end in the one game out of it that you needed to win, which I know must be gutting for you, Russ. And then on the other hand, Andy, who I know have given you a lot of grief on Twitter over the last few weeks, but you managed to hold in there and beat Preston to the playoffs. So congratulations on that. I'm in no way jealous. But I'll
liar.
I'm trying my best not to show it. I'll come to you first, Andy. If you just want to talk us through the game at the weekend, obviously Preston needed Barnsley to win. Obviously, you put in quite the dominant performance and ran out 4-1 winners. Were there sort of any nerves around sort of Derby before the game, and how did you sort of play in that game?
I wasn't nervous, actually, without trying to sound too cocky about it. Different scenario, you know, like a few years ago when we messed it up on the last day of the season against Reading. I went there pretty confident that we were going to pull a result off. And the game itself surprised me, to be quite honest, because Barnsley were fighting for survival. And I expected a bit more trouble off them. I think they destroyed Brentford the previous week. Was it 3-0? And I thought they would give us a bit of trouble. I was expecting to see more from Ollie McBurney. And I know a lot of Championship clubs have their eye on him with regards to next season. But as far as the game went, I mean, there was some attacks from Barnsley. But to me, once we scored the opening goal, Cameron Jerome, which he scored after a superb through pass by Bradley Johnson, the head seemed to drop a little. And once we went 2-0 up, they just seemed to give up. And it was a convincing win for us, but it looked like we didn't need to get out of second gear. And no disrespect to Barnsley, I know one of our fellow podcasters is a Barnsley supporter, but from the first goal onwards, I think there was only going to be one winner in the game. And that's good, you know, a win like this going into the playoffs, it's good. It's kept the momentum going as after the draw at Villa Park, and then obviously previously to that, beating Cardiff City comprehensively as well. So that can only be good going into what is a very tricky looking tie with Fulham.
Yeah, we'll get on to the Fulham game in a second, but I'll come to you just quickly, Russ. Obviously, desperately unlucky, you know, the Cardiff result went your way, but to go to Birmingham, you know, to sort of lose that massive unbeaten run that you had in, you know, the one game that you desperately needed to win, you know, desperately unlucky for yourselves. How did sort of the game go, and do you think sort of nerves got the better of the Fulham squad?
I don't think it was nerves. That's number one. And I think this really came down to Birmingham City, Gary Monk setting his team up and knowing how to beat Fulham. They actually had a very good game plan. They made it difficult on Fulham, and it worked very well. Fulham had an opportunity early on in the match and did not score with an opportunity from Lucas Piazon. They were doing well in the first opening 10 to 12 minutes, but every time Birmingham City had a chance to attack, they looked extremely dangerous, and they took advantage of one of those opportunities, took an early lead, and then they got a second goal late in the first half, which made it 2-0, and then it was going to be an uphill struggle. And this is just my opinion. I've watched the match, and I feel strongly that this match had more to do with Birmingham City than it did with Fulham. I don't think Fulham choked. I don't believe in that. I believe that this team took it to Fulham, and they deserved all 3 points. And I think at some point you just have to say you were beat on that day by the better team. They were the better team that day. It's hard because of everything on the line, and they just got beat, a team that was desperate to stay in the league. It still was looked like it was going to be in their favor, but they, you know, going into it, they probably felt they needed the point. So not only did they get the point, they got all 3 points. And if Fulham did get all 3 points, then they would have won promotion. But possibly Cardiff City would have reacted differently if they heard the result, if we were ahead. Who knows? We're never going to know. But if I'm looking at it and I'm being honest, I thought Fulham played a horrible match. But there's a reason for it. The reason happens to be Birmingham City. And I don't think enough credit has been given to them. It's cause and effect. They caused us to look the way that we did. We played terrible. They were the reason for it. So we move on. And Andy actually said to me on Cottage Talk, we just recorded one, that he felt that going into the playoffs, Fulham probably needed a loss. And the more I think about it, he could be on to something. Because when you have that unbeaten streak, that pressure keeps building and building. Now that pressure is off. Now you can go back to just playing. And now it's about these two matches. And there might be something to it. There are two ways to look at it. Andy brought up both scenarios. That was one of them. The other one was really talking about, could there be a hangover from that loss? Possibly. But I've seen Fulham respond to even draws before in a very positive way. So I expect to see their best at Pride Park. But we'll see.
Yeah, that sort of takes us nicely into sort of covering the game at Pride Park, which, you know, is coming up fast now. Sort of the floor's open, really. I just wanted to, first of all, get your thoughts on, obviously, Derby coming in off the back of the win. And, you know, you said there, Russ, that it's never a good time to lose a game, especially to miss out on promotion. But that could be sort of the kick that the Fulham sort of team need, you know, to get not necessarily back to basics, but to take the pressure off of that unbeaten run and, you know, going to the playoffs sort of solely focused. Where do you two see sort of the key battles on the pitch being? Obviously, it'll be easy to point to, you know, the so-called, say, superstar players, you know, the likes of Vidra, Sessegnon. Are there any sort of key battles that each of you were looking at and thinking that, you know, if either of your player can come out on top, that'll go a long way to influencing the game?
Well, I'll start, and Andy and I already talked about it. He brought up a player that I truly believe is key, is Tom Kearney, but I'm going to just put it to a bigger and say about the midfield three. If the midfield three can control the play and get the ball forward to players like Sessegnon and then someone on the other side and maybe Ryan Fredericks on the right at right back, well, then that sets everything up getting to Mitrovic. But I think it begins with our midfield three. If Derby County can stifle them, then that could be advantage to them. But if you look at, you know, Andy mentioned Kearney, and I agree with him, Kearney's key, but also those two others, you really need to focus on all three of them. If you can take away that passing game, then you can really disrupt what Fulham want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right what Russ says. What key, obviously, is going to be in the midfield, and if we're going to have any chance in the midfield battle, we're going to need Tom Huddleston playing at his best with his passing. He's known for being a good passer of the ball. But Bradley Johnson needs to keep up the form of the last couple of games as well. But a threat from Fulham will come down the flanks. Ryan Fredericks down the right, Ryan Sessegnon down the left. That's where they've exploited us in the past couple of games. Ryan Fredericks especially gave us trouble in the away game because we're arguably weaker down the left than we are down the right. But, I think the sort of weakness we've got to take advantage of is if when Fulham are on the attack and when it comes to nothing, is getting that ball on the counter as fast as we can, because attack-minded teams can be vulnerable to the counter, leaving their gaps in defence. So, that's something we've got to exploit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, you mentioned there, obviously, the midfield battle being key. Sort of question to you, Andy. Do you think that, obviously, sort of looking at the Derby team, Huddleston and Johnson, you know, I don't think you'd find sort of many more experienced sort of centre midfield pairings in the league. Do you think that experience will sort of come in key sort of to go in towards to winning that midfield battle?
It could do so. Obviously the two very experienced midfielders. Tom Huddleston was slow getting his season going, but ever since then, he's proved crucial with his passing. Bradley Johnson as well as Tom. He's got the experience, but he's also got the experience of being promoted as well. Bradley Johnson and Cameron Jerome obviously have experienced it with Norwich City. But they are two key roles. And if Rowett does set up with the 2-3-4-1 formation, we've got to ensure that those two, in conjunction with the four playing behind the striker, make it good effect of all their strengths and close them down as rapidly as we can. Because if you give Sessegnon, in fact, if you give their midfield three any room at all, hopefully Gary Rowett would take and looked at their strengths and he'll set up and have a plan to combat it.
Yeah, you mentioned there Sessegnon, and I'll go to you sort of on this, Russ. Obviously, Sessegnon will be the player that, you know, I'd imagine the Sky cameras and the sort of the pundits will pick out as, you know, one of the most important players sort of from either side going into the sort of the two legs. Sort of first of all, to you, who do you see being the key for Fulham? Would there be a player that you'd single out? And then secondly, do you think that sort of the likes of Mitrovic, the players that are sort of in World Cup contention will see this as, you know, an opportunity to sort of nail down their place in that World Cup squad and, you know, potentially going into next season, you know, put themselves in the shopping sort of window for bigger clubs?
Okay, well, keys for form. We've already talked about the midfield three, so I'm just going to focus just straight in the middle, and because I could talk about them, but I want to focus on McDonald. Because McDonald is extremely key to everything that Fulham do. He will protect that back four, which is very important. He does an incredible job there, but he can also start the play up from deep. So Kevin McDonald is very key in this match. And then, of course, you go up to Mitrovic, and Mitrovic is just someone that just scores goals. And he needs service. So if Fulham can get him the service that he needs, look out. But that's, again, it's all going to really, for me, take place right in midfield leading up to Mitrovic. And then, of course, everything flows down the wings as well. But for me, if I'm going to focus on where I think the key players are, I'm going to go right to McDonald even more than Kearney and then to Mitrovic. But getting to your point about Sessegnon, because Sessegnon is going to be important in this match. And you mentioned to us off air in a little rundown that you do talking about injuries and suspensions. Well, potential injury for Fulham that could affect Ryan Sessegnon is Matt Target. Matt Target, I believe, was ill in the match. It was reported, I think, that he actually threw up during the match. He was taken off at halftime. And he was dealing with an injury coming out of the Sunderland match. I believe it was an ankle injury, but he played against Birmingham City, but it did not look like he was himself. And that injury could have been a factor. Maybe he wasn't feeling well either. We don't know. I saw him tweet out, I guess you could say, a positive tweet about this upcoming match. So I'm hopeful that he will be there, because if he's not there, then I have a feeling that Jokanović will move Sessegnon back to left back. And I've talked to you guys about this a great deal. Ryan Sessegnon can play left back, but if you want to utilize his skill set to its potential, he needs to be playing further up the pitch. So for me, when I'm looking at Sessegnon, I'm also looking at Target. Is Target playing? Then I think you're going to see Ryan Sessegnon play very well. He played very well at Pride Park the last time. And he did not play well against Birmingham City. And again, I think part of it had, believe it or not, had to do with the dry pitch. He was struggling with it. He finally changed his cleats, and I think he was better after that. But he did not have a good match. So I have a funny feeling. He's a confident kid that he'll be expecting much more in this upcoming match. But yeah, he's a key. If you get him the ball, he's dangerous. As I've said this many times, he might disappear. You might not see him for 45, 50 minutes of the match, maybe even longer. And then he just pops out of nowhere, because he is extremely clinical and he's always at the right place at the right time. So he's a definite key. But for me, I will know much more about the effectiveness of Ryan Sessegnon when that starting 11 comes out.
Yeah, the same question to you, Andy. Are there any sort of key players that you'd like to highlight sort of for Derby that, you know, the Sky cameras and pundits might not necessarily sort of pick up on? And then sort of to follow on from what Russ said, are there any sort of injury concerns or suspensions sort of with the Derby team sort of going into the first leg?
Well, I'm wondering what the setup's going to be, because Marcus Salton, he left the game early on Saturday with injury, and Rowett had to adjust things. Matty Vidra came on, but if we're going to start in the 3-1-4-2, I'm intrigued to know who's going to start at left wing back, because if it's Craig Forsyth, that means Alex Pearce will come in at centre half. Now, Andreas Wyman and Tom Lawrence have been in good form recently, and you know, they've been playing in the middle in that four behind the striker. So where does that put Vidra? I'm a little intrigued. I'm actually wondering if he'll revert to 4-2-3-1. I hope not, because the newer formations work pretty well, and it's worked against Cardiff and it's worked against Aston Villa. But key players, obviously, Scott Carson's had an excellent season in goal, but his distribution when he's got the ball has been very good. I think the two in front of him, that Bradley Johnson, if he can keep his recent good form going, will be key to us. But it's the four behind the striker if we play in that formation, and the key to me is getting it right, and it's easier said than done. Obviously, Andre Wisdom will take the right, but it's getting the best out for Lawrence and Andreas Weimann, who's also played very well. And if, to be quite honest, if either of them two had to be sacrificed for the bid, it would be very hard done by. But it's a bit of a conundrum, and unless Tom Lawrence has moved out onto the left, but I think he's far more effective in the middle. And obviously, Cameron Jerome has been on fire the last three or four games. He's looked the business. It's being able to play him to his strengths as well. But overall, I really, really finding it very difficult to predict what the actual starting 11 will be on Friday night due to that situation on the left-hand side.
Yeah, I think, you know, they'll probably be sort of for each side, you know, each of you mentioned their sort of same position, really, you know, sort of a doubt sort of going into the game. So I expect that there probably will be changes, especially with the second leg then coming up, you know, not too far after. You want to sort of keep everyone fresh. We'll go to you first, Russ. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you to predict the second leg as well, because, you know, that'll be dictated sort of mostly by what happens in the first leg. But if you were to sort of preview the game almost now, how would you sort of see the game going, and what would be your score prediction for the game?
It's hard because it's two legs. So you're looking at the first one being basically halftime. And it's going to be interesting because Fulham did the exact opposite. They had the home match last season, had Reading come. And I actually like the fact that the second leg is at Craven Cottage. And obviously when you get third, you get that advantage. So I do like that. But listen, it's going to be very hard. It's going to be very tough. I have much respect for Gary Rowett. I have much respect for Derby County. I know that he'll have his team ready. And all three scenarios at the end of the first leg are in play. I mean, Fulham could win, obviously, draw or lose heading into the second leg. So I'm going to look at it this way. I'm going to predict 2-1 Fulham heading into the second leg, but that really, just think of it as halftime. That'll be halftime. But it could be very easily 2-1 to Derby County as well, or a draw. It's, you know, again, I'm throwing my hands up, giving you a prediction. But I'm going to predict because I will be predicting on Cottage Talk as well, and I'm going to predict 2-1 to Fulham, and then all to play for at Craven Cottage, and there will be a lot. If it's 2-1, that's not much of an advantage. That's all I'm going to say to either team. Andy said this to me, and he's right. If it's not more than two goals, then any team can win at Craven Cottage. It's got to be a blowout, and I don't see either team blowing the other one out at Pride Park. I just don't see it.
Yeah, and the same to you, Andy. How do you sort of see the game going? And if you were to sort of go for a score prediction, you know, it's still a couple of days away, but sort of what would be your prediction going into the game?
Well, past experience has taught me in the playoffs, expect the unexpected. When we made it to the final and Parnell against Southampton, it's 2 away wins. Last time we were in the playoffs against Hull City, it was 2 away wins. In fact, we beat Hull City 3 times out of 4, including the playoffs that season, and they were the team that went up. If on Friday night, say the game ends with Fulham winning 2-1, like Russ says, don't write us off. Very, very, very foolish thing in playoffs. And because I could honestly see it being possible that there's going to be 2 away wins in the tie again here. If a push comes to a shove, unless it's a blowout, this game will go all the way, possibly even into extra time at Fulham, which I'd rather not, because certainly if it went to penalties, you would have to favour them with a home crowd. I am going to stick my neck out on Friday and say 2-1 Derby. I think on Monday, possibly a 1-1 draw. I don't know. It's going to be, I think on Monday night, you're going to have two very nervous sets of fans. And it's going
to be, I agree with that.
I don't think there'll be any blowouts in this at all. I don't know if it's heart or head. I believe we can do it. But don't be surprised whoever wins this tie is all I'm saying.
James, can I just share one final thing before we wrap this up?
Absolutely.
Okay. I said this to Andy, and I truly mean this. I'm going to say it on the championship roundtable as well. I think it's important to say, when I look at the four teams and I look at the matchups, and Aston Villa play Middlesbrough, that's a great matchup. But if I'm going to project and look at who could potentially be at Wembley, I don't know who's going to win between Aston Villa and Middlesbrough. But I'm here to tell you, this is my opinion, and anyone can disagree with me. The winner of the playoff final is coming from Fulham versus Derby County. I truly believe that, and I'll tell you why. Because I think Fulham and Derby County not only have good, solid teams, might not have the most talented teams out of the four left. I'm talking about Derby County and Fulham. But I truly believe we have the best coaching out of the four. Now, people are going to come at me and say, well, how can you say that about Pulis? How can you say that about Bruce? Because of all the experience that they have. They do. They have a ton of experience. But when it comes to in-game adjustments or knowing the best for their teams, I think we have the two best managers in this matchup, and that would be Rowett and Jokanović. I think that gives both of our teams an advantage going to Wembley. And the pitch also, I think, is an advantage to both of our teams. So for me, the winner of the championship final at Wembley Stadium will be either Fulham or Derby County.
Yeah, I think if I was to pick sort of one of the four to go with, I'd look definitely sort of completely agree what you said there. Sort of whoever wins the Derby Fulham leg, I think will probably be favourites going into that final. You know, I think, you know, I don't need to sort of repeat myself of what you've just said, but I think, you know, you're definitely right with that. But, you know, either way, I think sort of out of the two sort of semi-finals, this Derby Fulham one is the one that I'm sort of looking forward to the most because, you know, I genuinely just don't know which way it's going to go. And well, yeah, as a neutral, I think, you know, it'll be a great watch. And apart from when Preston were in the League One playoffs and sort of our history in the Championship playoffs, when it's sort of watching it with my neutral head on, you know, I really enjoyed them, and it's a great time of the season. But with that, we're out of time. If you two want to sort of let everyone know again where they can find you and any projects you're involved in, now would be a great time.
Andy Buckley Taylor on Twitter at BuckTaylor64. Also do a blog, which is carried by the Derbyshire Times, and their sister titles on their website.
I am Russ Golden, host of Cottage Talk, a podcast about Fulham Football Club. And you can follow me on Twitter, Russ_Goldman, and also at the Twitter page for the show, Cottage Talk.
Yeah, and you can follow us on the Twitter account for the show, which is at Championship Pod, and you can also follow me on my personal Twitter page, which is at _James Vickers, where I mainly tweet about Preston North End and quite a bit of German football as well, so definitely check that out if you are interested in either of those. Best of luck you two. Obviously it's a shame there can't be, you know, both of you going to the Wembley final, but I'm sure it'll be a fantastic watch either way. And you know, hopefully for you two, one of you does go up. But, you know, if you do, and we don't have you on the Championship show anymore, both of you, it's been a pleasure having you on over the last couple of years. And, you know, everyone will get to listen to you on the Premier League show. But, yeah, with that, we're
out of
time.
But that means we're stuck with Jake, though.
Yeah, well, you know, there's pros and cons, I guess, isn't there?
I'm kidding. Yeah. I love you, Jake. If you're listening, I love you, Jake.
Yeah, but with that, we're out of time. We'll be back in a day's time with a preview for the Middlesbrough-Aston Villa leg, and then we'll be back after that once the two legs are done to preview the finals. So cheers as always for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.